Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us for our online service. My name is Justin Dudney, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. We're a church that seeks to see its members and guests alike to continue to take their next step in their faith journey. So whether you're brand new to faith or you've been a disciple of Christ your entire life, we want to challenge you and inspire you to continue to grow deeper in worship, deeper in community, and deeper in service. That's our goal, and that's our motivation. As always, we want to encourage you and remind you on how to stay best connected to New Life Church and all of the ongoings here. The best ways to do it are on our website, newlifecrc.ca, and also on Facebook and Instagram. We also want to extend a very warm welcome to Esperanza Ministries. They are a ministry on Vancouver Island in a very remote area where they reach out and disciple the people in that community who are primarily First Nations. We've been working alongside them for the last 12 years or more, and we are just so thankful that they're going to be joining us for our virtual service today. So everyone in Esperanza, welcome. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you are blessed. We're now going to spend some time in worship, and I just want to encourage you, no matter where you are, no matter what posture you're in, to set your eyes on Jesus as we sing his praises. Let's worship together.
My son. Hey, New Life. My name is Mike Vanderquack, and I get to serve as executive pastor here. And thanks, worship team, for leading us in a time of worship of our Lord and Savior. Thank you for serving in the way that you do. I have a few announcements that what I want to bring your way. We have written a letter to you, the congregation, to give you some information about the going on behind the scenes here at New Life. There is some information about our staff team and some updates there, some changes. Also, updates on how our ministry is doing in this unique time, how things are playing out financially. We're so grateful for the ministry of New Life and for you, part of the body of Christ, as we serve and worship our Lord together. Kids, too. Hey, Pastor Sam has put together another great video for you this week. And parents, you can access that video in the description of this video just below. There's also a link for an activity sheet. You can print that activity sheet off, load up the children's ministry video on another device, and your kids can watch that with headphones on in the room with you. And we recommend that you kind of do that so you're all as one family together. And so we're just going to recommend that you hit pause right now so you can load that up for your kids and print off the sheet for them. Here at New Life, we also recognize that there is a lot of financial strain that's happening in people's lives. Whether you're a business owner, your income has gone down, or you're struggling with this changing environment, maybe your job is in jeopardy and you're wondering if you're going to get laid off, or maybe you have been laid off, or your overall income has decreased and you're having trouble meeting ends meet. We want to let you know as a church that we're here for you. We want to help you and encourage you, pray for you. Please let us know how we can help. We want to help. And this morning, if you're able to give, the offering this morning is for New Life Ministries, for our church ministries. And we encourage you to give. And we want to keep the church ministry strong in this time, because the church is needed in people's lives. We all need to be encouraged in our discipleship, and we want to help people who are in need. And if you're transitioning to online giving or electronic giving, you can do so through e-transfer. You can send an e-transfer to giving@newlifecrc.ca. Or you can download our app and give through that as well. Thank you for your gifts. And we're going to pray for New Life Ministries right now, so please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this church and for the ministry that you do through us to a broken and hurting world. We pray that what's gathered here this morning may be for your glory, that you would multiply it to meet people's needs, and to encourage people in their discipleship with Jesus, and we're thankful. And as we give, we remember that you're the giver of all good things, and all of us and who we all are belongs to you. Thank you that our world and our lives are in your hands. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, that's it. Pastor Nathan, he's going to bring a terrific message to us from Scripture this morning. Thank you.
All right. Well, hi, everyone, and good morning. Welcome again to another New Life Online. We're so glad that you've joined us. Today, we begin a new series of messages called Strong and Sure. And we're using the image of trees to convey a message of certainty in the midst of so much uncertainty. And so here's what I want you to do. Perhaps you're familiar with a tree that reminds you exactly of that same kind of message, a message of strong and sure. Maybe it's in your backyard, or maybe it's in a park nearby, somewhere nearby. And I want you to take a picture of that tree then, and go ahead and send it in to New Life Church, either by email or use Facebook or Instagram. And send in that picture. I don't want a picture that you found off the internet, but send in that picture and let us know where it is as well. And then in addition, I might choose to preach in front of that tree just as I'm preaching in front of these trees here today. So I just thought that'd be a little bit of fun and would introduce a little bit of interaction so that we can really engage with this series and let it come alive, because indeed, we need to be able to hold on to some certainty in the midst of our current situation. The series is based on a small book back in the New Testament called 1 John, written by John the Apostle, the same guy, actually, that wrote the Gospel of John. And he was also known as a disciple of Jesus, he was known as the Beloved, because he evidently had a strong friendship with Jesus. And so John writes this gospel, this letter to the Christians in Ephesus around probably AD 90, so some 50, 55 years perhaps after Jesus died and rose again. And he's writing to Christians in Ephesus who are facing themselves a lot of uncertainty. Uncertainty that's brought on by Roman oppression and persecution. Uncertainty that is brought on by the influence of a very strong culture in Ephesus. Ephesus was an economic center. It was a cultural center. Lots of pagan influence, lots of temptation. And that introduced a lot of uncertainty for the Christians in Ephesus, as well as uncertainty brought on by a certain teaching called Gnosticism, which taught that material things around you weren't of so much value as finding enlightenment, which essentially meant that you had to have this kind of secret knowledge or this key to being enlightened within your own heart and soul in a way that would cause you to be happy, but it depended a lot on how you could make yourself feel. And that caused a lot of uncertainty as that teaching crept into Christianity to teach that Christianity wasn't really about an actual Jesus. It was about the thought or the ideal of someone who could enlighten you. And so our context is perhaps a bit different, and yet the same kind of uncertainty creeps into our faith in times like ours. And perhaps there are similarities then to the Christians in Ephesus to whom John is writing. So we need to talk about certainty. What are the things that we can be certain of in our faith that will help us to live strong and sure? And the first thing that John talks about is that we need to be certain about Jesus. Here's how John begins his letter talking about that. From 1 John chapter 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Joy. Joy is made complete, John is saying, by being certain of Jesus' existence. His actual existence here on earth, his full humanity here in this world. You've got to have full assurance of Jesus' constant presence to be strong and sure in joy. That's what John is saying. And perhaps we get that, at least in terms of the things we types of things we confess with our mind. But we also fall into temptation of thinking that the actual important things of living by faith have to do with spiritual things and have to do with just imaginary things or making ourselves feel good. Thinking that when it comes to faith and believing, it's just a mind game, just an imagination. And the problem with emphasizing that it's all about the feeling or the inspiration we can generate within ourselves is, that's just not very dependable. One day we'll wake up all excited, and the next day we wake up depressed. The next day we wake up disappointed. The next day we wake up a little bit more excited and we try to pump ourselves up. And it just adds to our uncertainty. And then believing in Jesus becomes agnostic. You can believe that he exists or not that he exists. And it really doesn't make any difference. It's all a matter of whether the ideal of Jesus just makes you feel good. So what becomes the foundation of our joy is the certainty of Jesus' existence. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He says, look, if you consider the existence of Jesus, the real existence of Jesus in our world, and you observe the things he said and the things that he did. For instance, he made declarations of sins forgiven. If you consider and observe the things Jesus said and the things he did, you'd have to conclude either that he was a lunatic, C.S. Lewis says, or that he really was who he said he was, the Son of God. When we grab hold of the certainty of Jesus' existence, in other words, we know the Savior of the world. Because otherwise he couldn't have said and did the things that he said and did. The reason Jesus could say, your sins are forgiven, is because he really was the Son of God. And that's where our joy lies, in the fact that Jesus has the power to save our world. Jesus has the power to save your life. Jesus has the power. In coming to this world, into our lives, to save us. That is where true joy lies. But John is emphasizing not just the certainty of Jesus' existence, he's also emphasizing the certainty of Jesus' physical existence. John insists that Jesus was not only real, but that he was real in physical body. And we can be certain of that because of the eyewitness accounts. Certainly the disciples saw somebody, and John emphasizes that in verse 1. We saw with our eyes, he says. We heard with our ears. We touched him with our hands. Jesus was a physical human being. And that's foundational to our joy, because it means then that God closely identifies with our world, with our lives, with our physical being. God isn't just a distant God who planted us here on this earth and then let us run our lives however we get along. No, God cares about our physical existence. He cares about our physical world. And being certain of a physical Jesus means that we have that kind of God who really cares about our circumstances, about our current situation, for that matter. In other words, God is something of a physical God, even though we confess that he is spirit and truth. He at least has a really keen interest in all things physical, all things material. God delights in that. That's why he created the world. Because it brings him joy. And that, then, is the foundation of our joy. And then finally, one last curious thing. John's not only concerned about making us certain about Jesus, or certain about his physical existence, but he's also concerned about making certain our fellowship with God. And John links Jesus' physical existence with fellowship with God. Listen to him. Here's what he says in verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see the linking that's going on here? Being connected to each other, being connected to the apostles who were eyewitnesses of Jesus's physical presence here on earth means that we are physically connected in fellowship with God himself, who is the Father of Jesus. You see, in other words, it cannot be just a spiritual connection, something like maybe mental telepathy or something, between you and a distant God somewhere out there who may or may not be paying attention to us. No, we are assured of God's presence with us, even now. It's as strong and sure as if he was with us physically. Jesus in human flesh reveals God to us. But even more so, Jesus, fully human, reveals the real fellowship that we have with God. God and humanity are in fellowship in a real and even in a physical way. In uncertain times, we hold on to that uncertainty of Jesus, but we also hold on to the certainty of God's fellowship with humanity. You see, God bothers to show up as a human person in Jesus Christ because he cares about humanity, because he cares about you and about me. That's the whole point of creating us. That's the whole point of saving us from our sin and misery, from the brokenness of our world. That's the whole point of redeeming the world and all creation. So that God is not going to give up on us, and he's never going to abandon us and leave us to our own devices or leave us in our own sin and brokenness. I don't know about you, but as a staff, we've been thinking about what it'll be like to come all together again in one auditorium and to be able to enjoy that kind of physical fellowship with one another. And we've been thinking about that and getting excited about that, and I hope it gets you excited too. Why? Well, because we were created for that kind of fellowship. And it creates within us an anticipation of joy. And that's the same thing that John is trying to describe. That as we share in the real fellowship with God, it creates within us an anticipation for joy, a joy that is made complete when we are certain of Jesus' existence, when we are certain of his physical existence, and when we are certain of the fellowship we have with God. John is saying, be certain of Jesus' real physical existence, and you can be certain that God connects with you in this physical world, even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. We can be sure of his presence. That's where the source of complete joy arises from, in the sure and certain knowledge of fellowship with God. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we rejoice that you bothered to enter into our world in a real way, in a physical existence, and that you pay attention to us, and that you draw us close to yourself in real fellowship, so real, God, that it's like physical presence. And so we pray that you will root us in that kind of joy. And in the coming days and weeks and months, as we face the uncertainty of how long social distancing will last and how long these conditions will last and what our economic situations will be like in the future, God, in the midst of all of that uncertainty, give us the certainty that Jesus came into our world. He died and he rose again for our sake. And he redeems us into new life in Jesus Christ. And for that, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go into this new week with that kind of joy, with the certainty of Jesus, your Savior and the Master of your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
Sunday, everyone.